Welcome, welcome. Good morning, Boker Tov. Good afternoon to folks in the East. So beginning melody starts like this. Different ending. Let's try that. So the whole first part.
Hi, I'm Naila.
Did that nigun feel a little bit tricky? Not so much? Oh, good. To me, it was tricky.
I thought it was tricky.
Yeah, it's a little different from most of the nigunin that we do because of the time was in three, and most of them are in four. La ya na na ya, so I hardly ever write a nigun that's in three, but Reb Zalman loved three nigunim, and he always encouraged me when he was alive to write something in three. He loved the waltz, you know. So there's a story of Baal Shem Tov that when he was young, he found himself on Friday afternoon without anything, no food, no wine, no bread, nothing for Shabbos. So he went out to a well-to-do person's house, and he knocked on the door, and he yelled out, "Someone needs something for Shabbos." And then he started to walk away. And then the man opened the door and saw him walking away. He said, "What are you doing? You just knocked on my door asking me for something, and you're going away." He said, the Baal Shem Tov turned around. He said, "Thank you." He comes back. He says, "You know, every person's livelihood is already predetermined for them. Whatever sustenance they're going to have is ready to be given to them, but depending on the burden of a person's sins, they have to work hard, more or less hard, to get it to come through. When I woke up this morning, I felt that burden was hardly there at all. So I knew it was going to be very easy to come. But it was still a little bit there, so I had to at least knock on the door and yell to you. But I didn't have to stay. So it's a funny story, and I've known this story for many years, and it always attracted me, but I didn't really know what it meant. I thought, this is a great story, but what is it really saying? Like, what's the practical application of this story? And then it really hit me when looking at the Parsha this week, what this story is about. It is something that we can all apply in a very direct way. Maybe not in the way that he did it, which was sort of a tricky master, kind of crazy wisdom way to apply it. But each of us, as we move through our lives moment to moment, have the opportunity to tune in on a non-intellectual level, on a real sensitive, felt, present level, to the appropriacy, or the invitation from reality, if you will, or the invitation from the divine, about whether to stay or to go. Should I stay or should I go? The mind tends to ruminate on it a little bit. You know, should I stay or should I go? Before I was married, and excuse me for those who've heard this story before, but before I was married, I was sitting at a sushi bar, and there was a guy there named Peter who was British, and I was in agony because I had a girlfriend and I didn't know if I should marry her or not. And he said, "So what's going on, bloke?" And I explained to him the predicament, and he just laughed, and he said, "Huh, if you don't know whether you should or not, the answer's no." We can plug very directly into the stream of doing and the stream of resting, the stream of how we move in our lives. And the mind is definitely helpful sometimes. We need information to make decisions. But ultimately, the mind can also get us kind of caught, because whatever the mind knows is just a tiny, tiny piece of reality. We don't really know all the variables, right? The other thing that can lead us astray sometimes is not our thinking mind, but our impulses. Did you ever interrupt someone when they were talking? Did you ever get interrupted? Maybe sometimes it's appropriate if the atmosphere is like that and people are excited, but I notice very often that a person interrupts because the impulse comes to speak, and the impulse is not really connected to the reality of what's going on. The impulse is within, comes from within, and there's an attachment to that impulse. Like, I want to say something now, so I'm just going to barge in. And I'm amazed sometimes a person barges in and the other person doesn't stop. And then the person who barges in keeps going. And then you can even have like 20, 30, 40 seconds of two people talking at the same time. It's very amusing to me when that happens, because because what's really going on there? What's going on is, I think, is that both people are having the thought in their mind of, no, I'm going to talk now. And that's it. It's just in the mind, in the emotions, I'm going to talk now. And there's no reciprocity. There's no, like, connection. There's no, like, wait a minute. Really what we should do is, hold on, let's take a time out. Let's be silent for a moment. And this is really so much of the benefit of coming together and doing silent meditation, because it's not just for the benefit of when we're being silent in meditation, which is, it's a wonderful benefit. But it's not only that, it's also that we get used to how to be that way. We get in touch with that inner silence from which we can connect on a felt level that's beyond the ego. By ego, I mean what I think and what I feel, regardless of what's going on around me. That's a way to define ego. It's not to get rid of what I think and what I feel, not to negate it, but it's just to open it up to how is the moment as a whole, the wholeness, the oneness of the moment that contains everything that's arising right now in the present. What is that inviting? So it's this wonderful line in the Parsha. Well, before I read the line, I'll just give the context. It says the Israelites are at Sinai, and a bunch of things are happening, but in the middle of the narrative, it says that when it was time for the Israelites to travel, there would be this cloud on top of the Mishkan, the portable temple, the portable sanctuary, this kind of a miraculous image, this cloud that would descend. And then when it was time for them to go, the cloud would lift, would move in a certain direction, and the whole camp would, they would pack it up, pack up their tents and pack up the Mishkan, and then they would journey. And then when it was time for them to stop, that cloud would come down. And so the image, it's a fantastical kind of image that's very miraculous. We may not think that it's, how do we relate with that? But it's actually it's a wonderful metaphor for how we can be led in a very direct way, moment to moment, by following the cloud. Following the cloud. Why cloud? Cloud implies that you can't really understand it. You can't really see. You can't know it completely with your mind. And that's exactly what reality is. Reality is that we see some of it, but mostly it's a mystery. Nevertheless, on a felt level, we can sense. We can be in relation to the moment and know when to go and when to stay, when to journey, when to rest. So then here's the line. Right after it describes that, it says, Alfi Hashem Yisu B'nei Yisrael. By the word of the divine, the children of Israel journeyed. The Alfi Yichanu. And by the mouth of the divine, they encamped. Now, why is that so interesting? Well, there's lots of examples in the Torah where Hashem is saying stuff to people, but not here. Hashem is not saying anything. Hashem is just being a cloud leading them. But it says, Alfi Hashem, by the word of Hashem. So the hint here to me is that this idea of the word of God is a metaphor. It can be taken metaphorically. And when we understand it that way, then we can relate to actually what's happening in the present moment as the word of Hashem. It doesn't have to be as it is on the exoteric level, in which we're studying words and thinking about texts. That's all wonderful too. It's not to negate that. But there's a whole other level. The esoteric level is such that the exoteric level, the texts and the words and the ideas and the thoughts are pointing to something deeper. They're pointing us deeper. So how do we get to that deeper thing? There's a hint, again, at the very beginning of the Parsha. This is Parsha Behalotcha, which means in the lighting, in the igniting, in the kindling. Behalotcha et hanerot. When you light the lamps, Elmu Panei HaMenorah Ya'iru HaNerot. Towards the face of the menorah, the lamps shall shine. Again, you can easily gloss over it and say, well, I don't quite get that, but you just pass over it. But it's actually saying something really strange and remarkable, because we know that if you light a lamp, a regular oil lamp, which is what it was, the light just comes out everywhere. What do you mean, point the light toward the face of the menorah? It's a strange image. But if we understand the menorah as a metaphor for our own bodies, the single menorah with many branches, it's what we are, in a sense. Our lives are complex. We have many, many things going on, many branches. And yet, we can connect with something very, very simple, simply by being present, which means shining the light of our awareness, not just out into the world, looking at things, thinking about things, trying to figure things out, but shining the light inward back into our bodies so that there's a resonance. And even as I'm saying it, you can start practicing it, shining that light inward back into the bodies, into your body. And we'll do it more intensely in a moment when we go into the meditation, but even now, and even always, to a certain degree, keep some of that awareness in your body so that the awareness itself, which is what we are, underneath our thoughts, underneath our feelings, underneath our personality, underneath our memories, underneath our opinions, underneath our reactions, underneath our conditioning, there's this simple awareness. And that awareness comes from the background into the foreground when we let it rest intentionally in our bodies. It's a bit of a paradox because we're pointing the awareness inward, and yet the sensation that arises out of that is one of freedom, one of expansiveness. So then we get the light shining out in all directions. But we really sense that light when we bring that light in to rest in the body. I had an experience of the opposite of that this week. Was anybody on the Sunday live stream? Yes, thank you for your note. I was teaching like I always do, and I just had to stop because I felt I got disconnected from my body. I got disconnected from presence, and I noticed that what I was saying was starting to be just something intellectual from my head. And I realized at that point I had to just stop. It only happened to me one time before, sometime in 2011, and it was kind of embarrassing, but it was a great reminder to myself not to get too carried away with the ideas, the concepts, and forget the root, forget the essence. So partially because of that, as the chant, I want to do this week a line from Psalm 30, which is a prayer. It's related a little bit to the cloud, related a little bit to my own experience of getting disconnected. And the words are, Histarti fanecha. Or if you have a better Hebrew accent, histarti fanecha. I don't have such a great Hebrew accent. It means you conceal your face. Hayiti nivhal. I would be confused. I would be confounded. Histarti fanecha. Hello, you're welcome to come if you want. Would you like to come sit? So it's a few words, so just so we can learn them, let's say them out loud. Histarti fanecha. Histarti fanecha. Hayiti nivhal. So it means you conceal your face, meaning that there's some confusion in the mind. Hayiti nifal, I would be confounded. To me, this is we can take this in a straight way of feeling confused about something, but also we can take it as an aspect of our experience right now, regardless of whether we're feeling confused. There's a reality is mostly hidden. It's mostly concealed. And if we try to understand it all with our mind, we're going to end up being confused, because that's not what our minds are for, to understand the big picture of everything. That has to be connected with directly, because on the felt presence level, we are already part of that.
We're already part of it. We don't have to figure it out with our minds that give us this sense of separate me navigating through the world. But rather, when I become present, then that confusion lifts because I can trust that which the mind can't see. So the next part of the verse is, Eilecha Hashem Ekra. Eilecha, to you, Hashem, the divine, which means reality, which means this moment, which means connecting with presence. Experience as it arises now, Ekra, I call out. So shifting my attention away from thinking and calling out with the heart in a sense, really calling out with our awareness itself into connection with this moment. So the words are, Eilecha Hashem Ekra. Eilecha Hashem Ekra. And the first part, Histarti Fanecha, you conceal your face, Haiti Nivhal, I would be confused or confounded. Eilecha Hashem Ekra, to you Hashem I call out. Okay, so we'll learn piece by piece. Histarti Fanecha. Histarti Fanecha. Histarti Fanecha. Histarti Fanecha. Hayiti Nivhal. Hayiti Nivhal. Histarti Fanecha. Histarti Fanecha. Histarti Fanecha. Hayiti Nice. And the next piece, Eilecha Hashem Ekra, to you, Hashem, I call. Eilecha Hashem, Eilecha Hashem Ekra, Eilecha Hashem, Eilecha Hashem Ekra. Histarti Fanecha. Histarti Fanecha. Histarti Fanecha. Hayiti Nivhal. Histarti Fanecha. Histarti Fanecha. Histarti Fanecha. Hayiti Hashem, Eilecha Hashem Ekra, Eilecha Hashem, Eilecha Hashem Ekra. Histarti Fanecha. Histarti Fanecha. Histarti Fanecha. Hayiti Nivhal. Histarti Fanecha. Histarti Fanecha. Histarti Fanecha.
Coming into formal meditation, bringing right hand to your heart and invoking the attitude of simply offering your awareness to the fullness of whatever is there to be aware of. Giving your awareness to the fullness of this moment, the fullness of whatever arises in your experience, either inner or outer, on the level of feeling, on the level of sensation, sense of the space around you, sounds. Even if there's a disturbing sound that comes in the room, just see if you can have this attitude of giving your awareness to it, whatever it is, as an act of love, as a gift. And expressing this offering of awareness with the offering word lecha on a long out breath, deep breath in. Lecha. And bringing left hand to your belly, right hand on your heart. El mul panei ha-menorah ya'iru et ha-nerot, shining the light of consciousness down into your body, down into your organs, feeling awareness in your torso flowing downward, down into your legs, down to your feet and toes. So the whole lower part of your body is alive with awareness. Ya'iru et ha-nerot, shining lights, shining upward into your heart and lungs, upper back, shoulders and neck, feeling awareness flowing like water down your arms to your hands and fingers, connecting back with your heart and belly. Shining awareness up into your face, your brain, your skull. Bringing a little smile to your lips to reflect this generosity of presence, this offering of presence, and resting awareness on the flow of your breathing, breathing naturally, but making intimate connection with the movement of breathing. And expressing and anchoring this body awareness with na'ase on long out breath. Deep breath in. Na'ase. And bringing your right hand to lightly touch your forehead, left hand on the belly. Left hand on the belly, keeping awareness shining in the body, right hand on the forehead, becoming aware now of the entire space around you, knowing that your perception of the space around you, of all of us here together,
of the light, of the sounds, of the air, that it, all of it arises in this open, vast, borderless space of awareness, and you are this awareness, this vast space both within and beyond the body, within and beyond feelings, within and beyond thought. You are this open field. Venishma, deep breath in. Venishma. And kissing your fingers, relaxing your hands. Atahu, you, the fullness of what is, the fullness of reality itself, both hidden and revealed. You are reality, you are the divine. Or in the feminine, Atyahi, Atahu, Atyahi, using the words to rest your thoughts in the vibration of the chant, so that when you notice other thoughts come, you can accept those thoughts, but don't follow them, don't get caught in them, simply bringing the mind back to the feeling and sound of the chant. Taking the chant inward, letting your mind vibrate with the words Atahu or Atyahi or both. Noticing when the mind begins to wander away from the body, away from the chant and into some thought stream. Just noticing it, no need to judge. No need to push the thought away, but just gently and firmly bringing the mind back, resting in presence. And we'll sit together like this quietly for about 18 minutes.
Hashkatei fanecha, Hastati fanecha, Hayiti niva, Hastati fanecha, Hastati.
Again, with the kavanah of offering awareness with love as a gift to the one, the gift to the whole, to the divine as it manifests in this moment. Lecha, deep breath in. Lecha. Left hand to your belly, shining awareness El Mul Penei HaMenorah, our bodies as the single menorah hammered out of gold, sanctuary of presence, filling the whole form of your body with light, resting in the flow of your breathing. Naase, deep breath in.
Naase.
And bringing right hand to your forehead. The presence within your body, not confined to your body. No border, no limit. Vast field of awareness that we are. Venishma, deep breath in.
Venishma.
Kissing fingers, relaxing hands. Amen, amen. So may it be as we go forth that we take the meditation with us, keeping some awareness grounded in the body, grounded in the present moment, to be sensitive to when the Pi Hashem, the mouth of Hashem, guides us, invites us to move, or guides us, invites us to rest. Relaxing our feelings and our thoughts to be connected with this deeper reality, to be at service of this deeper reality instead of the other way around. Osei shalom bimromav, hu yasei shalom aleinu v'yalko Yisrael v'yalko yoshvei tevel v'yimru amen. Amen. So when you're ready, take a little stretch. There's no hurry, but can bring movement back into your body gradually, and when you're ready, you can get up. Don't feel pressure. For those who are open to traditional davening, tomorrow morning, Wednesday morning here at 8:15, and live stream will be on Sunday again, next Tuesday, the live stream will be, it'll just be a live stream, so I won't be here next Tuesday because I'll be in Miami, but I'll be back the following Tuesday. All right. Be well. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Be well. All blessings.